Jack talked about uncomfortable, and there have been few times in the last 2.5 years since I started this process that I have been comfortable. And if it weren't for the prayer and the love that I knew was coming to me, it would have been a lot more difficult and a lot easier to give up and just to come home to my family and just do what was easy and what was comfortable. But serving God is not always comfortable, and that's not bad because I've grown a lot. I want to close out Italy by telling you about Raffaele. Raffaele is a friend of mine, and he is a product of the Bible school in Florence, Italy. Scandici, really. But 10 years ago, he studied under one of the Avanti Italia workers, and he came to church with us for a while, I could say us. But he kind of just stopped going. He looked for other things. He looked at other evangelistic bodies in Florence. He's Roman Catholic, and it's hard to break out of that. One day this summer, he showed up in church, and I didn't know who he was, but he instantly gravitated toward Avanti Italia and the group because he had a history. So he became friends with us pretty fast, and he started doing everything we were doing. We would go to the train station to feed the homeless, and he would go with us. We would have an activity for our students, and he would come. He started studying with us again. He was studying the Bible. He wasn't studying English because he's very fluent in English. He loves Texas. I don't know why, but anyway, one night after the train station, we came back to the Bible school, and it was Eric, who was the director at the time, Raffaele, and myself, and we were sitting around the little dining table, and we were talking, and he brought up baptism. And Eric and I were like, ooh, this is really, really good. This is wonderful. And we talked for an hour and a half that night. And one of Raffaele's concerns, as it is a concern for anyone who is stepping out of their culture, is that he would not be accepted by his family very well if he got baptized in Christ, because it's not the Roman Catholic way to do it. It's not the Italian way to do it. We studied with Raffaele for a few weeks. He came to us and said, I want to be baptized. He was with one of our other members at the time. We got a phone call. I was with the other director. And we came home, and they said, he wants to get baptized. We're going to go up to the church building, and we're going to call everybody together, and we're going to do this right after lunch. That was an important part of it. So during lunch, Raffaele sent us a text, and he could not make it after all. He was going to the south that weekend for a cousin's wedding, and those are really, really huge affairs in Italy. So he had to get prepared. He could not make it. So we had to tell all the church members, you know, we're not going to do this today. And we were a little discouraged, and we didn't hear from Raffaele for a couple of weeks. We thought, you know, he wasn't returning our messages, mine or Eric's. He wasn't in church. He had gotten sick while he was traveling, and he just hadn't come around, and we were praying for him. We were concerned for him. So he was having a study session one day, and Jessica, who was the, some of y'all have met Eric and Jessica at the Bible study, but she was the other director. Jessica got a phone call, and I could hear Eric on the other side. We were at the Bible school, and Eric said, get the bathtub ready. Raffaele wants to be baptized right now. Don't call anyone. I was like, okay. So I heard him, and I ran upstairs because there was only one bathtub, and it was in the my bathroom. It was my bathroom at the time. Nothing was really mine, but so we got the tub ready. We got the bathroom ready. He came in, and he was baptized, and he has been a faithful member of the Lord's church ever since then, and he is a product of the Bible school. He is a product of your love and your support and your prayer, because that is exactly what Avanti Italia is. They teach English with the Bible in the hopes that something will click. They plant seeds. And 10 years ago, an Avanti Italia worker planted a seed, and God watered. And praise God for that. Raffaele is very precious to me. So that that's a really good note to end Italy on. Scotland. Scotland, Italy. Italy was not where I wanted to go. Scotland was not where I wanted to go. But that is what I'm feeling, and I hesitate to use the word feel because it means I'm doing this, but it's what I think is what God is calling me to do. Back in the spring, about a year ago, this time, maybe even March, we had to go through cultural training for the Italian government for our Permessa di Soggiorno. And there were four of us, and Eric and Jessica were part of it. So we were in this cultural training class, and Jessica made a contact with a young woman from Africa. I think she was from Morocco, and she was a Muslim. She clearly looked Muslim. She told us she was Muslim. Her husband did not allow her to have a car. Her husband didn't allow her really to have friends. Her husband didn't allow her to do a lot of things outside of the house, which is very common. I didn't think much about it. You know, if anyone heard me speak before I left for Italy, I was telling y'all I was staying in Italy. It's a 2-year program. I'm staying in Italy for much longer than 2 years. So I didn't think much about it. Jessica came to me one day and she said, "This woman has sent me a text message. She wants to be my friend." And I said, "That is awesome. That is a wonderful way to reach her." She said, "No, I'm too scared of her. What if her husband comes and bombs the Bible school because we're all Christians?" And I said, "Well, I don't think that's going to happen. However, if it does, we get to go to heaven sooner. Yay, you know, it's a win-win." She didn't see it that way. She never contacted that woman again. And it made me really sad. And it made me sad for Jessica, and it made me sad for this young girl. She was 21. And that was the seed. That was all it took. And I thought, if everybody is so scared to talk to Muslims, nobody is going to talk to Muslims. No Muslim is going to learn the truth about Jesus if we're all too scared of them. And I thought at that point, I need to do this. This is what I need to do. Because I'm not scared of them yet. And that's not to say I won't be sometime, but right now I'm not. And that's a good thing. Because if I were scared of them, I wouldn't want to have relationships with them and to build bridges for Christ. So my thoughts of staying in Italy were slowly going out my head. And I thought, where is there a really large Muslim community in Europe? Germany and England. And I thought, well, I've struggled with the language in Italy. It's a beautiful language, but I'm slow. So Great Britain would be a really good place. So I'm going to London. That's where I'm headed, London, because there's a large population there. Through Facebook, I became acquainted with a man who is the head of the British Bible School in England. And we started talking, and he was telling me about some of the programs that the BBS offers, and he said, "Why don't you go to the website and look it up?" Well, there was a study weekend, and we're serving God, you get depleted. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, you get depleted, and you need something to fill you back up. And I thought, this is the study weekend I want to go to. It was in October. It was in East Kilbride, Scotland. It was on the Book of James, and he was teaching it, and I already had started building a relationship with him, a friendship. So I asked and eventually was given permission. I received donations that allowed me to travel and stay in Scotland, which is East Kilbride is maybe 8-10 miles south of Glasgow. So I went up there, stayed in a hotel, didn't know a soul except for Patrick, and I didn't even know him. I just knew, had a Facebook friendship with him. But I met some really warm, inviting people. Some from that congregation, and some were just from other congregations that came to the study. So it was a Friday and Saturday. That Saturday night, I was invited to the preacher's house. He's American. He's from West Virginia. He's been in Scotland for 30 years. Esther knows some of the church members that I attend church with in East Kilbride. And that was really neat to find that out. But I got to meet some more of the church members, and I was talking to the men that were there, and some were from England, some were from Scotland, and I said, "I want to go to London. That's where I want to go." And they're like, "You don't want to go to London, because London is outrageously expensive. For you to be able to afford to live in London, or to afford to work in London, you have to live about an hour outside of London in any direction. And then the transportation is going to kill you." I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm going to London. So as I was being taken to the airport the next morning, which kind of, this is a little scattered, I forgot to write this in my notes. The airport trip was interesting because my flight was canceled. And I wasn't going to be able to, my original flight was for early in the morning. I wasn't going to be able to go to church services. It was too expensive to change it, and I wanted to change it. I wanted to go to church services in East Kilbride, but I couldn't. So my flight got canceled, and I got to go to church. And that was a really good, that was a big blessing for me. So as we're on the way home, on the way to the airport for me to fly home, the couple that drove me, they're a missionary couple from Zimbabwe. She is American. He is British. They lived in Zimbabwe in South Africa for 40 years, and now they're working in East Kilbride. They're part of my team. They are now part of my team. But really, we're all on the same team anyway. But she was saying, well, you know, you could come here and work. There's work here for you to do. And I'm like, yeah, that's really nice. And you know, right over. Nope, I'm not going to do that. So I went back to Italy, and I was on my high from having this edification, from meeting these people, from knowing that there is work to be done everywhere, and that, you know, I can still serve. But nothing clicked. Nothing I was looking for was there. So a couple weeks went by, and I sent a message to the preacher's wife. And I said, you know, it was mentioned to me that there might be work here for me. Is that really true? And I didn't hear from her. I'm like, that must not have been true. So one morning, I sat down, and I said a very intentional prayer. And I said, God, I know I'm going somewhere. You have already picked out this place. I need you to tell me so I can prepare. Which didn't mean I was neglecting Italy. I wasn't neglecting Italy either. But I'm a planner, and that's just part of my personality. And I, in my head, I needed to know, which I didn't really need to know, but I needed to know. 3 hours later, I got an email or a message, and Arlene said, we've talked it over with the church. We would like for you to come and work in Scotland. And I'm like, wow, that's really scary that you answered that prayer that quickly, that way. And it really freaked me out because he was really listening. So I went up in December because of the airline mess up. I had a voucher, so it was almost free to fly up. And I met a church family from London, and I stayed with them for a couple of nights while I stayed in London. Then I took the train up to Scotland, and I met everybody in the congregation, and we had a congregational meeting about me, which was really scary. But they seemed to have liked what they heard, and I liked what I heard. So we all agreed that I'm going to be going to Scotland to work. What I'm going to be doing in Scotland is, I'm going to be working with the church, with the women and the children, and I've already taught a women's class, and I've already taught some of the kids' classes when I went back in January. I'm going to be working in the community. I'm going to be working with the Glasgow City Mission, and I can't know how that looks until I go back and get some training. I've already started a study with a woman who is sometimes an atheist, sometimes not. But she doesn't like God very much, but she believes in him, so I don't think she's really an atheist, and that's what I told her. But we've begun a friendship, and she's very, very sweet. But outside of East Kilbride is a refugee detention center. So a refugee detention center is where you go when you're waiting for your permanent assignment to where you're going to be placed finally, you're at home. And I will be working with the refugees in the refugee detention center. And my training for that is at the end of May. And I am so excited about that because I finally realized I don't need a million Muslims in my backyard. I need one right in front of me. And that's what I need to start with. And then once I talk to that one, I build a relationship with that one. They can trust me. They see that my heart is not bent on anything bad for their good, for their sake. I can move on to the next Muslim. And then, you know, it can work out that way. But that, I'm very, very excited to be able to do that. So that's what I'm going to be doing in Scotland. And if you have any questions for me, if you want to help me in any way, you can talk to me. If you want to ask me questions. I will not be alone when I work with the city mission because there's a young married couple that I've befriended and they want to help me. I will not be alone with the refugee center because the other couple on my team, the ones who have spent their time in Africa, they want to be there too. So I will not be in any dangerous situations other than what God allows and what God wants me to be in. So just one more thing before I stop. This morning I woke up to a wonderful post on Facebook that one of the women we've been studying with in East Kilbride was baptized this morning. So pray for Christine that that she follows God, and just praise God for that. And that's it. Thank you very much.